We are in week two of our homily series called Needy. Sometimes life can be humbling, a humbling learning experience. And people and even events can remind us of a truth that we come to know, that there is a God, and it is not you or me. And God is God precisely because he alone is completely self-sufficient in himself. He does not need anything, but we do. We have needs that we must attend to if we are to thrive and indeed survive. In fact, our whole being, by its very nature, is a vast collection of neediness. Whether our needs are simple or complex, easily attainable, or completely out of reach, we are needy. Think about all the needs that you have. Before all others, think of your physical needs. You need oxygen. You need food and nutrition. You need hydration. Then there are your emotional and mental health needs. You have a need to be understood, a need for acceptance, a need for self-confidence and self-esteem. You need meaning and purpose in your life. You need to work, and you need to rest. And the list goes on and on. You are needy, and so am I. On top of those needs, you have spiritual needs. God created us with needs and the responsibility to tend to them. Tending to your needs outweighs almost every other responsibility you have. On the surface, that may sound very selfish, but actually, it's kind of common sense. You can't help anybody until you have taken care of yourself. If you don't, eventually, you will become someone else's problem. On the other hand, when you do take care of your needs, you will be more effectively able to care for others. In fact, caring for yourself first can and should be preparation for service to others. If you have any responsibility of any kind, this is essential. The first 50% of leadership is self-leadership. So, if you are a manager or a supervisor or a team leader, if you're running anything from a small business to a large corporation, if you're a teacher or a coach or a mentor, indeed, if you are a parent, the first 50% of leadership is self-leadership. Here's exactly what Jesus said. One time, a teacher of the law asked him what was the greatest commandment. He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." Those last words are very important. As yourself. So Jesus connects love of neighbor to love of self. And we cannot love others if we do not first take the time to love and care for ourselves. We may not deny all our needs all the time, but we have a tendency to deny them from time to time. And if you're like me, and I know many of you are, there have been times when you knew deep down inside that you needed help. And it wasn't until the pain or the problem got so great that you finally took care of yourself. Despite everybody saying to you, "Go to a doctor," which I hear all the time, "Go to a doctor." And finally, when it's really bad, I say, "Okay, I'm going to a doctor." We can deny our needs so often. And when we deny even one single one of our legitimate needs, we are not moving towards health, we are actually moving away from it. So, we are taking the season of Lent to take a closer look at just how needy we are. how to best meet those needs, and as a result, how to be healthier. Last week, we talked about the three temptations that we face when it comes to our needs, similar to those that Jesus faced in the desert from last week's gospel. The first temptation, meeting legitimate needs in illegitimate ways. So we will be tempted from time to time to do something we know is wrong in order to meet a real need. The second temptation, meeting legitimate needs through shortcuts. With our needs, we are often tempted to settle for what is a shadow of the real and legitimate need that we experience, to take the easy way out and to go for the shortcut instead. And then the third temptation, meeting our needs by worshiping them. We turn our needs into God's and make them the whole of our life, to give them our attention, our affection, and pursue them at all costs. So that was last week, in a nutshell. Today, we want to talk about our greatest need. Our greatest need of all, our greatest need ever. This is our need for God. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, of course he's going to say that. He's a church guy. And this is church world, so what else would he say? But you might also be saying, if our greatest need is for God, then why don't I feel that need more deeply? Or perhaps at all? Why don't we wake up every morning with a desire to connect with God at least half as strong as my desire for that first cup of coffee? We often go long periods of time without talking to God or even thinking about God at all. To maintain a habit of prayer can require such great effort that it takes away from the reality that it's a need. Then there are people who, we all know, seem to have it all together, or so we think so. They're happy. They got a good job. They got a great family. And God is not part of their picture. Where's their need? Where's their need for God? We're going to answer those questions by turning to one of the most well-known stories in the Bible. And we heard it the first reading today, the story of Abraham. Abraham is one of the best-known figures in all the entire world, in every religion. In fact, he is counted as the father of three of the world's major religions: Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. When we first are introduced to Abraham in Genesis, we learn that he and his wife, Sarah, have no children. It's a sorrowful burden for any couple. But in the culture of antiquity, it was a huge problem, both socially and economically. Sarah is barren, and they are both advanced in years, so the situation is hopeless. God chooses to begin a relationship with Abraham, and here is how he starts that relationship. He says to Abraham, "Go from your country and your family and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a nation, and I will bless you and make you great." If Abraham steps out in faith, as God asks him to do, God makes three promises. God will make him a nation, he will make him great, and God will bless him. None of which could happen without a son, at least in the eyes of Abraham. So, Abraham goes. He leaves a very comfortable situation that he currently has at home, and he risks all of it for his heart's desire. Maybe that's your story. Maybe you are here in church today, not because you want a relationship with God, but because you want something from him. It's about your job, your child, your husband, your wife, your health, whatever it may be. And in that, you are no different than Abraham. But here's what we need to know about our God. He accepts us, however and whenever we are willing to come to him. He's always there waiting. God promises Abram, which is Abraham's name before God changes it, that he will give him a son if he will step out in faith. And Scripture tells us, so Abram went as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Abram obeys God, but he minimizes his risk by taking his nephew, just in case he really doesn't get that son. We may not see that in the reading. We actually see this, though, throughout the story of Abraham. He believes in God and does what God says. Kind of. Not completely. Abraham is our father in faith. But if you read closely, you see that he is far from a perfect father. By the time he has his son, Isaac, he is not a perfect father. I don't know about you, but I kind of find that very encouraging, that he's not perfect yet in his faith. We don't have to wait for perfect faith in order to follow God. It's true that Abraham's lack of faith delays the promises and the blessings that God said he would give to him. But eventually he grows in faith and he is given his son Isaac, which also brings him the greatest challenge that God will give him. At a certain point, God says, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering. Shocking, for sure, to sacrifice your child. But not as shocking as the next verse, which tells us that Abraham set out to do it. Well, some of you may not be that shocked by it, and you may want to give up your kids at times too, give them back to God. But, nevertheless, the story is illustrating how dramatically Abraham's faith has grown over time. Abraham and Isaac, who is probably about a boy of the age of 12 or 13, make their way to the place proposed for the sacrifice. And as they go, Isaac asks his father, here is the fire and here is the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb. Another indication of faith and trust. God will provide. The story concludes, Abraham bound Isaac and laid him on the altar. Then as Abraham went to sacrifice his son, an angel of the Lord called and said, Abraham, Abraham, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God. A crazy story for sure, but with an unmistakable point. Through his very needs, God draws Abraham to a place of incredible faith and trust. Again, it happened through his needs. So much so that he stands today as the father of faith in most people around the world. You see, we can miss out on our need for God. If you're not feeling it, it's probably because you are currently meeting your needs in some other way. Another way that cannot compare to God satisfying your needs. There are times that God will allow certain things to happen in our lives to redirect our needs back to him. Often it is when we are deprived of physical needs or are emotionally challenged or in a crisis of health or following loss or death, and we find ourselves urgently turning to God. Perhaps if we've been ignoring God and meet our needs in other ways, we ourselves have delayed the blessings that God wants to give us, as what happened to Abraham. But he will still bless us and always wants to, at least eventually. Here's a simple encouragement for the coming week. I urge you, begin each day by saying, God, I need you. Just say it every day for 1 week. In fact, let's practice that right now. God, I need you. Now, some of you probably said it and didn't really mean it, because maybe you didn't feel really comfortable doing it, you know? It takes time. It really takes time to say those words and mean it. So keep saying it again and again. You know that saying, fake it till you make it? Sometimes that's the best way to get through it. And when you say those words every day, God, I need you, hopefully you will believe it and rely on God for all your needs. By just saying it, you will already have been living in a greater recognition of your greatest need, that we all need God before anything else. Knowing your needs and taking the time to meet them is not selfish. It's living the reality that we are children of God and created beings. He made us needy. It's the way God has made us, so that eventually we might come to understand that our greatest need is indeed for Him.